just get this thing going. My wife is preaching in Paul this morning. And I asked her, who's going to use the iPad? She said, me. Yeah, that's when you're married to a wife. The Bible says you have to find something good. Yes. I just want to recommend Yaku and Lee for your pioneering spirit and taking this thing forward. And God just bless you, man. It's something to pioneer. It's something to take a work, you know, to begin a work and to run with it. And His hand is upon you. Just want to recommend you for that. And the guys that came with me from Paul, let me just introduce you. Eric, CrossFit man, love Jesus, full-time calling, working with the youth there in Paul. And next to him is Daniel. And Daniel also got a full-time calling on his life. He said, guys, you must come with me. And then Derek and Susan. And they married for just over how many years? 1 year. So thanks, guys, for coming with us. I think later on we'll, if you want someone to pray with you, trusting God for a word, you can just, you know, just knock on their doors. But I just sense in my spirit when I was, you know, when I was preparing this morning or just going over my notes, God says, okay, this is your birthday. And I just sense in my spirit, God is saying three things for this church. He says, it is a new season of joy. I think it's been hammered into us this morning. It's a new season of joy. It's a new season of gladness. And that scripture that was shared here, you know, we must serve God with gladness of heart and joyfulness in our hearts. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know, where the Spirit of God is, there is joy. You know, where the Spirit of God is, there is such freedom. So, yeah, serve Him with gladness and serve Him with joy. And I just sense in my spirit God's going to release joy in this house. Also, God says it's a new season of spiritual and financial breakthroughs. You know, just touching His heart. Our passion must be to touch His heart, to come into His presence, you know, and just stay connected, you know. It's so important. And God says as you guys touch Him, they will, you know, a byproduct will be the financial breakthrough for this house. So just press into His presence, you know. When He's here, press in. We need to discipline ourselves to say, God, You're here, and we love You. And then I also sense that God is saying there will be more strategic breakthroughs. He's going to put people in strategic positions in the marketplace to be kingdom influencers. So guys, prepare yourself. Benjamin Disraeli said, you know, when the opportunity comes, we must be prepared. Don't wait for the opportunity. Prepare yourself. Say, God, I want to make a kingdom difference. I want to be a kingdom influencer. Let's just pray together. Father, we just thank You for Your presence this morning. Thank You that You are here this morning. Thank You, God, that Your heart is to touch hearts, to change people's lives. And we just stand this morning in the need of being changed by Your Spirit, God. We just stand here in Your presence. And God, we need, we long for more of You in our lives, God. Less of us, but more of You, God. And thank You, God. Thank You for hearts that is hungry for You. Thank You for hearts that came this morning to meet with You. And Father, thank You. Thank You for Your word that's alive. Thank You for Your word that is spirit and life. Thank You that when Moses on the mountain, when You called him, and He said, whom I'm going to say met with Me? Who is sending Me? And You said to Moses, I am. God is saying this morning, I am whatever you need on this journey. If you need faith, I'm faith. If you need encouragement, I'm encouragement. I'm an encourager. God says, if you need comfort, I'm the comforter. My spirit is the comforter. Whatever you need, I am that. I provided for My people. Gave them water from a rock. I gave gave them food to eat. I gave them bread to eat. God just wanted to encourage you this morning. Whatever you need, I am that I am. God, we just honor you this morning that you are that I am. And God, thank you that you are more than enough. And we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, amen, amen, amen. Guys, I'm preaching this morning, and the title of my sermon is Happy Birthday. No, not really that. It is How to Be Happy No Matter What, or How to Have Joy No Matter What. And, you know, happiness and joy is a little bit different. Happiness depends on circumstances. You know, but joy is what the Spirit of God is working in our hearts. But this for this morning, I'm just going to, you know, mix it to a little bit. How to be happy no matter what. One of the things that you and I need to be aware of is that we feel that we fall into the trap of then and when thinking. You know, when my child is just, you know, if my child can just be a little old, if we can just live in a different house, I will be happy. Can just get a little bit more money at the end of the month, I will be happy. You know, and we fall into that trap. Then, when and then thinking. So we mustn't be part of that trap. Happiness is a choice. You don't wait for happiness. You create it. You choose to create happiness. You choose to run with it. Happiness is a byproduct of right thinking and right acting. Are you guys still with me? You know, the word goes into our mind. What we think determines what we feel, and what we feel determines what we do, what we act. So the word must renew our minds. So if we live by the truth, we will feel that way, and then we will act that way. Aunt Maggie Thatcher said, "What's your thoughts? Because they will become actions, and your actions will become habits. Your habits will forge your character, and your character will determine your destiny, where we are going." So, guys, it is so important what we think and how we think. Jesus said, he said, "Repent," and that word. To repent, it means change the way that you are thinking. Change the way you are thinking. Jesus was living in heaven for centuries and centuries and centuries. That's where this place got its name from. You know, for centuries and centuries, he was in heaven, you know, and he knew how heaven was. Because heaven is where God sits on the throne. Will you agree with me? Heaven is where God sits on the throne. And that brother that was sharing with us this morning, he said, Psalm 23, he says, it doesn't say, God is my shepherd. It says, the Lord. Where Jesus is Lord, there is no lack. Are you still with me? When we make him Lord, when we make him the highest authority, when we give him the highest authority, and when we obey to his authority in our lives, it's heaven. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now this morning, I just want to quickly talk to you about a few killjoys. Killjoys are stuff like pain, you know. You struggle to be happy when you have pain. When you've got an injury, it's not that easy. Picky people will steal your joy, will kill your joy. Pressure, stress, it will kill your joy, and problems will steal our joy. And Paul is talking about all these stuff in the first chapter of Philippians. Philippians is the happy book in the Bible. Are you still with me? He says more than once, he says, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. So Paul is in prison, he's in house arrest, he's writing to the church on the inside. His situation, so omstandighede, is not good. Tells the guys on the outside, be happy, rejoice in the Lord. So let's just run a few verses in Philippians 1:27. He says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. We must live like that, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news. So we must live that people can see, you know, we're different. And in Philippians 1:12, he says, I want you to know, dear brethren, brothers and sisters, that everything, say with me, everything, everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. And I want to say this morning that everything that happens to us is to the advantage of the kingdom being shared with us. Sometimes we don't know why things happen. Paul says, sometimes we are perplexed. But God is moving. Somebody said, you win or you lose by the way you choose. You win or you lose by the way you choose. So we can choose a lot of stuff. Keys to joy, let's run through them. The first one is look at every problem from God's point of view. If we can see how God sees, when our perspective can be like God's perspective. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul said, I pray that God will open the eyes of your heart so that you may be able to see. We must pray that God will open the eyes of our eyes. Happy people have a bigger perspective. They've got a larger perspective. And when God works in our life, guys, we don't always understand what is happening. Will you agree with me? We don't always know what is happening. In Philippians 1:12, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. Paul is in prison, he's in house arrest, but he say it is being to the advantage of the gospel. It is so that kingdom will be shaped in my life. It is so that kingdom will be shaped in the other people's life. Paul had a big dream for Rome. Rome was the strategic center of that time. He had a dream to go and had a harvest campaign there. You know, he's going to rent the Colosseum for 6 months. We're going to have a harvest campaign. We're going to invite seers, and Paul is going to preach there, and people will be saved. That was his dream. But you know what? God had other plans. And when Paul eventually arrived in Rome, he was a prisoner. He was in house arrest. And you know what? They set up guards to protect him, to look after him. And they were chained to him. So he had no privacy. You know, he couldn't do what he would like to do. But in 2 years' space, you know, there was about 4,380 So he could share the gospel with people one-on-one. And the word says, because of that, two things happened. You know, God had a plan. God moved with a plan. The first thing is that even some of Herod's family got saved. Philippians chapter 4. They wouldn't come to the Colosseum. But, they came to faith in Jesus. And the second thing is that Paul had to sit down, and people like Paul, they like to move around, they're purpose-driven, things need to happen, they're pioneers. But because he had to sit down, he wrote more than half the New Testament. He wrote his letters from prison. So God is always working with a plan. Tell the one next to you, God is always working with a plan. So guys, God knows what he's doing. Every time I face problems, in faith, it can either be a witness to unbelievers, because the unbelievers are checking us out. They are checking how are we living, how we gonna address this stress, how we gonna address this problem. 1:13, he says, for everyone here, including all the soldiers in the palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. They know why I'm here. And it's always, also when I've got problems, it's an encouragement to other believers. How I handle it. Where I run to. 1:14. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others about Christ. So they see that Paul is sharing the gospel. They see the boldness of Christ. And now suddenly, you know, they're not weak anymore. They're not intimidated anymore. They're bold and they share the gospel with others. So guys, people are watching this. And I just want to encourage you this morning. The second key to joy is never let others control my attitude. Don't let others control your attitude. There's four types, or there can be four types of people in our lives. The critics, you know, they're the guys that slander you. They're the gossip mongers. We all have them in our lives. Then we have comrades. They run comrades with you. They're your friends, competitors. We'll talk about them. And then also our enemies, the conspirators. First, the critics. It's true, verse 15, that some preach Christ because they are jealous and quarrelsome. You know, we all have this kind of people, you know, that they steal our joy, the killjoys, you know, the picky people. The critics, that word quarrelsome, it means they love to argue. They love to argue. When you preach, they come and say, Pastor, I saw this scripture in the Bible. You know, you could have used it in your sermon. Thank you very much. You know, I can't say everything. Pastor, you didn't understand that scripture right. You know, people that loves to quarrel. And why do they quarrel? Because they are jealous. We all have these people in our life. And I don't need other people's approval. I don't need other people's permission. It's not for them that makes me happy. Don't need other. I can make a choice that I want to be happy. You win or you lose by the way you choose. The comrades, Paul says, other preach from genuine goodwill. These do so out of love, and they know God's given me the work of defending the gospel. So this is the guys, his comrades, this is his friends. They are in it with him. They are taking Jakku's hands and Lee's hands and lifting it up in faith. Saying, we are here with you. We're going to do this thing for God here in Century City. We're going to build the kingdom. We're going to see lives change. Amen? The competitors, they are ego-driven. It says, others preach Christ insincerely from a spirit of selfish ambition. It's about the ego, you know. Sometimes preachers have big egos. It's a good thing to say. Pray for the man of God. Pray for us. But he says the competitors are ego driven and they put others down. To you. You know, that's a competitor. You know, they have to put you down. In order for them to do good, they must say that you are not so good. And competitors will rob you of your happiness. And then the fourth category is the enemies. The conspirators. Others just want to stir up more trouble for me and add to my pain while I am in prison. You know what are the enemy's favorite tool? Their favorite tool is gossip. That's their number one weapon. They gossip. You know, if you want to break unity in the church, you can just start, you know, a campaign of slandering. Sound, they are like that, the worship team are like that, you know, because God cannot work when there's disunity. God worked when there's disunity. Acts chapter 2, those people worked together in one place, all together. They were there in one spirit. They sorted out their problems. And when there was unity, God sent the Spirit. And they were all full with the Holy Spirit. Enemies are emotional terrorists. Don't let them rob you of your joy. Philippians 1 verse 18, Paul says it doesn't really matter. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong reasons, the message of Christ is being shared. So I am happy and will continue to be happy. You know what Paul's attitude is? I'm making a decision. It doesn't matter what my enemies do, what they think of me, it doesn't control. somebody said, if you throw mud, you lose ground. Don't throw mud. Because when you throw mud, you lose ground. And Paul says he's acting in a different spirit. Philippians 1:28, he says, be fearless no matter who opposes you. Be fearless. We sang that song this morning. We sang it again at the last, you know, the last one. Be fearless, be brave, be courageous. No matter who opposes you, it will be a sign to them of their downfall that God is with you and that He will save you. 29, for you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of what? Suffering for Him. It's a privilege to suffer for Him. Verse 30, we are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for Him in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of a great struggle. Guys, it's a privilege to believe in Jesus, but it's also a privilege to suffer with Him. If you look at the life of Jesus, not only was He victorious, but He also suffered. And when we follow Him, we're going to, for sure, experience the same things that He went through. Matthew 5, He said, celebrate when you are persecuted. What must we do? Celebrate. We must be happy. Because He was persecuted. We can be joyful in our problems. It's a privilege when you suffer for doing the right thing. I say again, don't let others determine your joy. The third key to happiness, always trust God to work things out. Always. Guys, God is working in our life. Sometimes we cannot see what He is doing. Joseph couldn't see what was God doing. He was sold as a slave. You know, he went to that guy's house, Potiphar. Is that how you pronounce it? Potiphar's house. You know what? And then Miss Potiphar, you know, she looked at him. You know, she lusted after him, and he had to run. And he was faithful. He was sexually pure. You know, and. His reward was going to jail. Sometimes you do the right thing and it's like, I'm not rewarded for this. Joseph, you know what? He chose to honor the man's wife. He chose to live sexually pure. He said, I'm not going to fall in this trap. He ran. And his reward? Going to prison. And he was there and you know, the prison guard saw, man, this guy. He's carrying an excellent spirit. But he had to wait and had to wait until the time was right. And there came, you know, the baker came there and the guy who poured out the king's drinks, the butler. And, you know, one of them survived, the other one died, but they all had dreams. And you know, he interpreted the dreams. And when the butler went back to Pharaoh, he thought, this is my man. This guy is going to help me. He's going to speak to the king. And the king is going to release me. And you know what? When the butler came out, he forgot about Joseph. He's lost him. He forgot about him. What was his Joseph? And after 2 years, guys, our hearts need to be clean. About me. God curse you. No, God doesn't do that. You know, he had to wait. God had to work in his heart. He had to keep his heart clean. And after 2 years, when everything was ready, that king, he was protected by layers and layers of God. Of guards. God doesn't have any problem. He just sent him a dream. The next morning, when the king called all the guys together and told them, you know what, I had to dream. Nobody know what the dream was about. Suddenly, the butler remembered. But do you remember the butler? It was God. God always worked with a plan. And that morning, when Moses woke up, the prison guard said, well, you better get dressed. The king wants to see you. Be ready. Be ready. Sit where God has put you. Be ready. Don't look for an opportunity. Prepare yourself. guys, some of you guys in strategic positions to be kingdom influencers. Prepare yourself. Don't wait for the opportunity. Prepare yourself. The opportunity will come by itself. Always trust God to work things out. When there's problems, we can either worship or we can worry. We can pray or we can panic. Paul made the decision. He says, my choice is to rejoice. Verse 19, I will continue to rejoice. This is his happy letter. For I know that as you pray for me and as the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, all that's happened will all turn out for my deliverance. The first thing that he says is, I know. He says, I've got God's perspective. I know God wants me here in Rome. He wants me. Yeah, he's got God's perspective. The second thing he says, there's people praying for me. When you know people pray for you, you know, it makes you more bold in your faith, in what you're standing for. And then he says, I know that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is helping. Is empowering us. Paul says, because of this, I have faith. Number four, this is the last one before we go into pride. Keys to joy is stay focused on God's purpose for me and not my problem. Guys, I know sometimes it's difficult. Just look at the problem. You know, and sometimes, you know, all we do is we meditate. Wants to know what is meditation, you know, I'll give you an example, a negative example. Meditation is negative worry. Oh, sorry, when you worry, it's negative meditation. Let me just be wrong. You know, worry is you think about the same thing over and over and over and over. You can't sleep. But God says to Joshua, you be brave, be courageous. How? By meditating on God's word. Doesn't know you how to worry. Okay. Meditation is positive. It's taking God's word. Say, thank you, God. Thank you that you're going to come through for me. Thank you that you are a God that provides. You know, Paul was an old man. He was in prison. He was long way from home. He was waiting execution by death. Lots of privileges has been taken from him. He has lost his privacy. He has lost his freedom. But they couldn't take away his purpose. God, it is your appointment. I'm going to run through this thing. Viktor Frankl was in the Nazis' death camp. When he talked about choices and his response. He said, Viktor Frankl, he says, I cannot control how people act towards me, but I can control my attitude and my choices. I can control my attitude and I can control my choices. In Philippians 1:22, Paul says, if by continuing to live, I can do more worthwhile work for Christ, then I am not sure which I should choose. Directions. I want very much to leave this life and be with Christ. Anyone that can? So yes, I'm there. But then he goes on, he says, which is a far better thing, but for your sake, it is much more important that I remain alive. I am sure of this, so I know that I will stay on with you all, so I can add to your progress and joy. Says, it's not about me. I know what I want to choose. But God has put me here for you. God has put me here for other people. God has put me here to make a difference in people's life. And what does he say? For your purpose and joy in your faith. The church consists out of people. How does Jesus build his church? He builds people. He builds their faith. He builds their boldness. And he makes them bold. Trust God to do miracles through their life. God uses men. God uses women. God doesn't work if you haven't found his man. to create a new nation? He went and he called Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of all nations. When he lead them out of Egypt, he goes, he finds the man with the name of Moses. When he leads them into the promised land, go and find the man with the name of Joshua. All throughout the Bible, God works through them. God can't work if we're not willing to say, here I am, God. I'm willing. I'm willing to do it. You serve Christ by serving people. Okay. Philippians 1. Maybe I must just say that. You know, people are so miserable. Many times people are miserable. Sometimes Christians are miserable. And you know what is the reason? Because happiness doesn't come from self-gratification. Sometimes our lives revolves about joy, my house, my garden, my furniture, my car, my kid. But when you live for yourself, you will become miserable. Sometimes we think that happiness is status, it's position, it's salary, it's sex. But it's not those stuff. Happiness comes from self-sacrifice. Happiness comes when I choose to serve. Like your pastor. He told me when you come in, he was asking me, what can you do? Need to serve in the body of Christ. If you want to be happy, stay focused on your purpose and not your goal. Paul, he says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And guys, the last slide, you have to fill in your own mind. For me to live, what is it? What is it? As the moment, because how you fill in the blank will determine your happiness. For me to live is to make money. It's poor. It could be clothes. It could be friends. It could be success. It could be power. It could be prestige. See, how I fill it in will determine my joy. Paul says, just pray together. Let's just stay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Gosh. Oh, Father God, we just want to thank you for challenging us this morning. God, we just want to worship you. Thank you for who you are. Jesus, thank you that you came from heaven, and you left behind all the privileges, all the status, your position in heaven. You left to become a servant, to show us the way. And Jesus, we know there's only one way. That way is to follow you. And Father God, thank you that you come and that you challenge us this morning. That you challenge us to be used by you. Father, we want to run with you this morning. And help us, God, to focus on the purpose that you have for us. Father God, help us not to focus on the pain and the picky people and all the people that rob our joy and the pressure and all those stuff that robs our joy. But help us to focus on you. And we just thank you. That these people this morning, that you're saying in your heart, God, I want you to use me. I want to be used by you, like Paul was used by you. Paul was stepping out of his comfort zone and saying, here I am, God. I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to do what you have for me. understand that that is you. You say, God, I want to be used by you. Won't you just put up your hand to me and say, God, here I am. I want to be used by you, God. Just put up those hands. Just keep it high. Say, here I am. Just keep it up for you. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Father God, you see everyone this morning that says, I want to be used by you, God. Father God, thank you that you use people that can serve. Thank you that you use people that can sacrifice. Thank you that you use people, God, that can give of themselves. That's not ego-driven, but is kingdom-driven. That run with you, that their hearts is set on righteousness. We just want to thank you this morning, God. I pray that you will touch every heart by your Spirit, God. That you will work a faith. That you will work an obedience. Father God, that you will work a joy in their hearts. And I just thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name. And we lift you up, God. Thank you very much. You can put down your hands. Yes. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are alive. Thank you for your Spirit working in our hearts, God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I just want to